Bezos Hashem Yisbarek, today's daf is Yud Beis in Masechta Shabbos. We are up to the 74th daf in Shas. We pick up about seven lines into Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is struggling with the following problem. On Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we had discussed a machlokis, or even stronger, a contradiction, it seemed, between two Tannaitic teachings. The Gemara 10 lines on the bottom of Yud Aleph and Beis had told us, on the one hand, there's a braisa that says that a Zav is not supposed to go out with his pouch, and if he does, over an Isur Darabanan, and the other braisa says it's an Isur Daraisa. If we say it's an Isur Daraisa, says the Gemara, I can understand it. Because at the end of the day, a person needs the pouch, it's choshuv to him. What would the logic be for the braisa that says that's an Isur Darabanan? Yesterday, the Gemara attempted a couple of approaches. The Gemara rejected all of them. And today, the Gemara gives some finality. Seven lines from the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Ela Abai V'Rava D'Armi Tarvayu Loi Kasha. There's no contradiction between these brises. Ha Reb Yehuda V'Ha Reb Shimon. This is the machlokis between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. At this moment, it is appropriate to introduce one of the most important machlokios in all of Masechta Shabbos of the Tanoim that the Gemara makes reference to over here. And that is the machlokos between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. Malacha she'ina tzricha legufa, according to Rashi in Dibra Maschil Ha Rabbi Yehuda, is the following. It is a malacha that is there to remove an impediment, but not to create a positive result. Rashi gives one example. I would like to give another that I always found for my Talmidim was the clearest. The Isser of Mechabe, of extinguishing a fire, is an Isser d'Oraisa only if, the Gemara tells us, one turns the flammable material that was extinguished into charcoal. There, when the individual extinguishes the fire, there's something that's positive that's coming out. However, what happens if a person wants to go to sleep? He turns out the fire, he puts it out, he extinguishes because he wants to go to sleep. That was removing something negative, not creating something positive. Now take a look at Rashi, HaRab Yehuda. The Amar Melacha Shein Tzurich Legufa Sheberitzono Lo Tase Ve'eino Tzarech Le'ikar Tachlisa. He's not doing it for its ikar result. Extinguishing in the time of the Mishkan, its ikar result was to create charcoal. Now Rashi creates the parallel in regards to the Zav. The Zav doesn't want to be emitting this liquid, and he doesn't want the liquid. He just doesn't want the liquid to create a further impediment. It's removing an impediment and not creating something positive. Says the Gemara, the Manda Amar, who says that putting a pouch is chayiv, looks at the pouch, despite the fact that it doesn't have a positive tachlis, the hotzah is not getting a positive result. He doesn't want the pouch in the Rishus Aram. It's just to prevent the negative. He holds malacha shein tzurich l'chayiv. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. However, the man Amar who holds that your potter says a malacha shein tzurich l'chayiv is potter. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rashi gives one more example, just to flesh things out for us better, because this is a common example that Rashi gives. The Gemara in Sadi Gimel Amabei says that if a person takes out a dead body from a room where it's creating some type of disturbance, odor, or any other type of disturbance, so then in such a case, that's an Isur Durabbanan according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that's Potter Avalasar. Why? Because there, the body is being removed, not because one wants the body outside, but because one does not want the body inside. That's a malacha she'eina tzrich legufa. It's not wanted for the guf, the original tachlis of the malacha, the guf ha-malacha. Gemara continues. Tandavei Rabbi Shmuel, yotzi adam b'tfilin b'erev Shabbos m'chashech. Even though our Mishnah said that a tailor cannot go out, however, an individual who's wearing tefillin can go out close to dark. My time, kiven da omar rabba baravuna chayv adam l'mashmesh b'tfilin. Since Rabbi Bar Avuna taught us in Yuma and Menachos that a person is supposed to check his tefillin, to touch his tefillin, to make sure that he's not Mesiach Das from his tefillin, so then we're not afraid that he's going to forget and carry out his tefillin. Kavachomer mitzitz. The source of Rabbi Bar Avuna is from the tzitz that was on the forehead of the Aaron. Aaron HaKohen. and for that matter, all of the Kohanim Gedolim. Matzitz she'en bo azkara achas, when the tzitz had the expression Kodesh Lashem written on it, Amr Torah v'ayu mitzvah tamid, and Chazal darshan shelo yisiach daitu menu, the tamid is coming to tell us that you're not allowed to yisiach tvas. Tefillin she'esh bo azkara is harbe. Tefillin has the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many places. Achas v'amakama. Certainly, he has to be careful not to be mesiach das. Hilchach midkar dokelu. Therefore, he'll remember before Shabbos because he's not allowed to be mesiach das. Tani chanin omer chayav adon mashmish bibigdo erev Shabbos imchashecha. Person has to check his begodim. Rashi explains that it means that he checks that there's nothing woven into his beged. Some poskim say this refers to checking one's pockets to make sure that one won't come to carry. Amar Rav Yosef Hilchasa Ravsi Lishabbos. This is a great halacha for Shabbos to be mechayiv him, because then he will be caught from being nichshal in Otsa when he checks his pockets every Shabbos, every Erev Shabbos. The Mishnah told us on the bottom of Yud Amar Aleph, Lo Yifale Es Kelev, he should not clear his garments from lice. Iboilu, Lo Yifale Es Kelev Biyom, Shemi Yoharek. Is the reason that's prohibited is because he might come to kill the lice. For Rabbi Eliezer, he follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Eliezer, Horeg Kini B'Shavis Kilu Horeg Gomel, that if someone kills a louse on Shabbos, so then it's considered as if he killed a living animal. Later on in Kuv Zayin Amabez, we're going to encounter that there are some who consider that killing a louse as not falling on the category of killing a living organism. And Rebbe Eliezer disagrees. Rebbe Eliezer also holds, Emir Hashem, in the future, one time we'll discuss the rationale of those who hold that it's not considered killing a living organism. Rebbe Eliezer, continues, V'lo yikar el araner shemiyata, and you therefore cannot read at a candle for a totally different reason, and that is that you might come to bend the candle. Rashi explains on the Mishnah that you might tilt the oil closer to the wick to improve the light. Or do we say that even the first reason of not removing lice has nothing to do with killing the louse, but rather is the concern of tilting the light in order to be able to see one's articles, one's clothing better? Tashma, come here, I'll bring you a proof, says the Gemara. Ein polin ve'ein korin la'arameh. The Braisa says, Ein polin ve'ein korin la'arameh, seems to put them in the same category. Asks the Gemara, Mi alima mi masnisan? Was this proof any stronger from our Mishnah? Our Mishnah also puts together the two. And one could argue, Ve'ein korin la'arameh is only talking about the second case, and not being polin, taking away the lice. Tashma, says the Gemara, no, Ein polin la'arameh, Ve'ein korin la'arameh. There's a braisa that says that you can't do polin la'arameh as well as kriya. Elu min halacha shom b'aliyas Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon. And these are one of the halachas that were taught in the attic, which we're going to discuss in detail, of Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon. Shmamina de tarvayu shemayata shmamina. This is a strong proof. Mirza Shem andaf yud gimel amabez. We will see that Mishnah of the halachos she'amru Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon, and that will introduce us to sugyas of tahara. Gemara goes further. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel feel the havchin ben bigdo le bigdei yishto. Even to use the candle to differentiate between his clothing and his wife's clothing, nevertheless, that is usur because he might come to bend the candle. Tosus adds that the same would apply to differentiating between one man's clothes and his roommate, another man's clothes, another yeshivabacher's clothes. A candle would also be problematic. Amar Rav Elo Amar an Eld Bnei Mechuza. This only applies to those people from the city of Mechuza. Avo Dibnei Chakil Isa Meidi Yadi. In Bechaklita, there's a clear distinction between men's clothing and women's clothing. Rashi explains that the men's clothing in Chaklisa, because the men there were laborers, was shorter so that it would not get damaged by the area that they're working on, the agricultural area around the feet area, it sounds like, according to Rashi. while in Bnei Bechuza, where they were not workers, they had long clothing, just like women, and one could not differentiate between the two. Continues the Gemara, Ude Bnei Mechuza Nami Lo Amaren, and even in Mechuza, we only say men and women are the same, and they would be prohibited to choose from candlelight between the two, Elda Zikenos. Aval the Yaldus made the Yadi. This only applies to elderly people's clothing, but children's clothing, there's a difference between the adult, the male children, and the female children. Rashi explains that the female children had very wide clothing. Rashi does not explain why. The Gemara now discusses other parts about lice cleaning. Tanu Rabban ein polim b'rishus harabim mipnei hakavod. You're not supposed to clean off for lice in the b'rishus harabim because of kavod. It's disgusting to the people that are passing you, explains Rashi. Kiyosavam reviyu devarim lo nachman ein osin af kutu vizin b'rishus harabim mipnei hakavod. For that reason, we also learned that inducing vomit is also not something that's done b'rishus harabim, because it's a chisaron in kavod. Tanu Rabban hamapola es kelav. The way in which one is supposed to remove lice from one's garments, molel v'zorek. He's supposed to roll the insect off, but make sure, when rolling it off, not to kill it. We're talking about on Shabbos. Ubavad shelo yehorek. Abishol omer noto v'zorek. Abishol says, remove it, but don't roll it. Ubavach lo yimlol, because it seems that Abishol is afraid that by rolling it might come to killing it. Amravuna, halacha mol vazarik. The halacha is that one can roll it off. Vizel kvodo. And this is the most honorable way of doing it. Vafil bechol, even during the week, because killing them is not a pleasant sight. Rabba mikate elohu. Rabba would kill them on Shabbos. V'Rav Sheshes mikate elohu, and Rav Sheshes would kill them. Rava shadilu l'kana d'mayo. Rava would throw them into a basin of water. Amale Rav Nachman l'bante. Rav Nachman said to his daughters, "Ptolan, you can kill them." V'ashminu kala d'sanvasi. Literally, it means I will derive benefit by hearing the sound of my enemies. And as it sounds like the Rav Nachman is saying, I'll visualize the sound of my enemies as they're being killed. This expression of Rav Nachman is hard to understand. Rav Elazar Moshe Horovitz has an interesting explanation why Rav Nachman wanted, and he suggests that he wanted to make sure that it was a malacha tzrich legufa, that he was getting some positive benefit, and not just removing the kinim, to show that we paskin that killing a louse is permissible on Shabbos. Tanya Reb Shimon Lozar Omer Ein Hargin Samachos B'Shabbos Devar Beishamai. Beishamai is of the opinion can't kill a louse. Beishil Matirim and Beishilel allowed it. V'chein Oyer Reb Shimon Ben Lozar Omer Reb Shimon Gamliel Ein Mishat Chines Atinokos La'ores V'lo As Atinok Olam De'Sef Olam De'Umnes V'ein Menachman Avein V'ein Mevakman Cholim B'Shabbos. One cannot do all of these above things on Shabbos. Beis Hillel matirin, but Beis Hillel allows all these things because Beis Hillel says that the pasuk that says mimtzoch fatzecha, that you should not do, the pasuk Yeshayo says that you should not do your chafatzim, is daf your chafatzim. Beis Hillel darshin, but cheftze shemayim can be done. There's no connection ostensibly between the two teachings of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, of course, except for the fact that both of them we have machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We do need to explain what exactly is the reason that Beis Hillel allows for the killing of a louse. Bezer Hashem, that will be the first of our topics, La Halacha, from Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara continues two lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabban Hanichnas Levaker Esachola, someone that goes in to visit a person that is sick. Oimer, if it's on Shabbos, he says to him, Shabbos hi melizok. Shabbos is a day that one should hold out from crying out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukrufua krei v'lovai, and the healing will come quickly. V'meir oimer, yichol hi shetirachim. The person should add, the visitor who's being mevakeh chola should add that Shabbos itself can be bring mercy to the chola. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Hamokim Rachim Alecha, v'achol Yisrael, to say to him that Kodesh Baruch Hu should be merachim on you and chol Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, mokni merachim alecha v'achol Yisrael, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy on you and all of Chol Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Omer, HaMokim Racham Alecha B'soch Chol Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy amongst the Chol of Yisrael. Rashi adds that Rabbi Yossi is adding that by including this Chol amongst others, then he will get the schus of the Rabbin. Rabbi Yossi Omer, HaMokim Racham Alecha B'soch Chol Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi says that when he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy, it should be included b'soch Chol Yisrael, amongst the others of Klal Yisrael. Rashi adds that Rabbi Yossi was adding the schus of the Rabbim, and that will be a schus of the Chola if he's included amongst others. Notice in our Misha Berach today for Cholim, that's how we do it. Shivni Yish Yerushalayim Mechnisasa Omer Shalom. When he came in, he would say Shalom to the sick person. B'Yitziyasa Omer Shabbos Himelizik Rufu Akrov Alavo V'Rachamav Berubin V'shifto b'shalom. That Shabbos, one should hold back from screaming, the healing should come quickly, and in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his much mercy, should give you a refuah, and you should be zocha to spend shifto Shabbos in shalom. The Gemara continues, K'man ozal hotam Rabbi Chanina. Whose opinion does this follow? That Rabbi Chanina says, Mishe Yesho Chola B'Soch Peso, Tzarech She'arvenu B'Soch Chola Yisrael. That he's supposed to include it amongst the other Chola Yisrael. This idea, the Gemara is now suggesting, because we had Rabbi Yossi, as we mentioned above, who had said that. Kimak Rabbi Yossi. Follows Rabbi Yossi that we mentioned two lines above. Vam Rabbi Chanina, Bikoshi Hitiru, L'nachem Avelim, U'levakir Cholim B'Shavs. It is only under difficulty that we allowed people to do Nichum Avelim and Bikur Cholim on Shabbos. Rashi explains, because there's a level of tsar that comes about in those experiences. The Rif adds that the reason one's not supposed to do it on Shabbos is for a different reason, which actually follows from what we had earlier in the Gemara, and the Rif writes, Shema Yovel Lizok B'Shabbos, that a person will come to cry out on Shabbos. The problem for a person when he sees something or someone in pain and davens on Shabbos is the following, and that is the theme that is running through our Gemara, where we have Shabbos Hi Melizok, that one is not supposed to cry out for refuah on Shabbos. From Rashi, it seems that the reason why Lizok is prohibited is because it causes the person tsar when he focuses on his bakashas. Others suggest that it's a halacha that in Shabbos, one is not supposed to focus on one's personal bakashas, but only on the shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a pshat that I heard when I was younger. I haven't found that pshat right now. Rashi seems to say, as we mentioned before, that the issue is that when one focuses on that, that causes the pain, the tsar, the choli, then in such a case that brings the individual tsar that he's not supposed to have on Shabbos. There is an important theological tosas on our previous Gemara, where tosas on the top of Yubeis and Mebeis asks, how could Rabbi Yehuda suggest that the person says, Hamokom Yirachem Alecha, if at the end of the day, that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who taught us the famous Gemara, the Hakol Nidonim Barosh Hashanah Ugzardin Shalahem Nechtam B'Yom HaKippurim, according to Rabbi Meir, while Rabbi Yehuda says Hakol Nidonim Barosh Hashanah Ugzardin Shalakolecha V'Echam Nechtam B'Zmani Pesach HaLatfua V'Adam B'Yom HaKippurim, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person is judged on Yom HaKippurim. So everything's been judged. What more could a person be davening for? Tosas by us gives a surprising teretz. Tosa says that the only Shabbos we're talking about is Shabbos Shuva, Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, where the Gzeira has already been changed. Tosas claims that you could actually fit it back into the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. But it should be noted that Tosas in Rosh Hashanah quotes other Mahalchim. Firstly, he quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, who suggests that on Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippurim, the psak din would be that the person would be sick. However, whether they will be healed or how they will be healed, that could be changed in the hemshech, in the duration of the year. That's one teretz. A second teretz of Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, Tezayin Amud Aleph Diyum Maskil Keman, is that when you have Tfila de Rabim, then that could override even a Psak Din of Yom HaKippur. Obviously, the theological implications of these Terutzim of Tosfos are profound. Our job in the Daf Yomi is to know Shas, to be able to understand it, Biyun. The Gemara continues 12 lines from the top on Yubayz Amabayz. Rabbi Archana says that when he used to go after Rabbi Lazar, who would visit a tficha, means a chola, Zimin and Amar, there were times he would say, Hamakum yifkidcha l'shalom, Kadosh Baruch Hu should remember you for shalom, Zimin and Amar le Rachmana yidkirincha l'shalom. Yifkidcha and yadkirincha, of course the word yadkirincha, the Dalet and Zayin are interchangeable. That's the Aramaic, which is going to be important in a moment. And Yifgod is the Hebrew. Yad Karancha is Yiskar. Means the same thing. One in Aramaic, the other in Lashon Kodesh. Asks the Gemara, how could he say this Bakasha in Aramaic? Hey Chavir Hachiv, Amar Rav Yehuda, Lo'olam Al Yishal Adam Tzracha B'Lashon Arami. A person is not allowed to say, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his tzrachim in Aramaic. Why? Ein malachei hasharis neskakin lo. She'ein malachei hasharis makirin b'loshen rami. The malachim are not going to help him because they don't understand Aramaic. It seems that the pshat in the Gemara is based on the idea, this is a controversial thing to say in slichos, but the notion is not controversial. The question is only whether it's an appropriate form of tefillah, and that is that some have the girsa and slichos, machnisei rachamim, that malachim are the ones who usher in the tefillah, they carry in the tefillah. It's controversial saying slichos, because it sounds like as if the prayer is pointed towards the angels and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a big debate whether that's acceptable or not. But no one disagrees, that I'm aware of, that the malachim are some type of purveyors of the tefillah itself. It sounds like that's the reason why you're not davening in Aramaic, because the malachim will not be able to do their job as being the purveyors if it's in Aramaic. That's the Gemara's kasha. Answers the Gemara, Shani chola de shechina imo. Chola is different because the shechina is with him. Hence, there's no need for the malachim asharos to purvey the tefillah, as explained in Rashi di Ramaskel, the shechina imo. Amarav Anan Amarav, as Rav Anan taught in the name of Rav, Nanshi Shechina Soed Esachola. How do we know Shechina supports a sick person? Shnema Hashem Yisadenu Al Eres Devaya. Kadosh Baruch Hu supports on the deathbed. Tani Nami Hachay Nichasavaka Esachola. Someone who goes in to visit a sick person, Lo Yeshiv, they should not sit Lo Agave Amita, not on a bed, Lo Agave Kisei, not on a chair. Tosfos explains in Dibrei Maskil Lo that the reason for this prohibition of sitting on a chair or a bed is because if the chole is on a low cot, it will seem as if the person is sitting above the shechina. However, it seems clear from Tosfos that this problem is only if one is hovering over the chole. If the chole is on a bed and one is sitting parallel to the bed, l'chura, this halacha would not apply. Ela misate, if he should wrap himself. In other words, we know that there is a halacha that one is supposed to be misatef for tefillah. Similarly, says Rashi, the shechina is here, and you have to sit be'ima in front of the chola. Mipnei sheshechina l'malam erashosav shel chola, shenemar Hashem yisadenu al eres devai, this pasuk in Tehillim. V'amarava, amarava, minayin shekodesh baruch hu zonas hachola, how do we know that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives sustenance to a cholish nemar Hashem yisadenu al eres devai. Gemara now goes back to our Mishnah that said v'lo yikare l'or haner, that a person is not allowed to read by candlelight. We have that in the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Rabba, Rabba tells us the following chidush. The Mishnah, it seemed, prohibited reading from candlelight because of shemayata, that if the light is flickering, it's not so strong, he might move the oil closer to the wick by bending the receptacle, and being over the isser of mavir, of making the light stronger, that would be considered like igniting and an isser d'oraisa of Shabbos. Rabba's chiddush is, even if it's highly unlikely, Amar Rabba, fil gvoa shtei komos, even if the candle is the height of two floors of a building. Although, according to the sugya in Sanhedrin, on Mem Hei Amid Aleph, Gova of Shtei Komos is actually the height of two people. Either way, it's called, referred to as double height. Vafilu Shtei Mardos. And even if the candle is being placed on top of two large saddles, where it's not at all likely a person that's going to climb up the length of a horse saddle, which is actually taller than a person, and adjust the flame. Vafilu Sarah Batim Zu Agav Zu. And even if it's on top of 10 houses that are one on top of another, nevertheless, there is going to be an Iser. Rashi explains, Vafilu Gavoa, that this is based on the idea, once Chazal made the Gzera, it's a low plug, even if it seems that the rationale doesn't apply, it's still, the halacha still applies. The Gemara adds, Chadhu Delo Likri. If it's one person, then he can't read. Hatre Shapir Dami. But if there are two people reading together, then it is acceptable. Rashi explains that the difference is that if you have a friend, so then he can serve as your shomer and remind you. Asks the Gemara, Vatanya, but didn't we learn in Braisa, Lo Echad Velo Shnai, that even if there are two people, they cannot read by candlelight? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abelozo Lo Kasha, Kan B'Inyan Echod, Kan B'Shnei Inyanim. If they're reading two different parshios, and they're not reading the same thing together, then they're not paying attention to each other. So then in such a case, the Braisa says Asur. However, if they're reading the same book, then we learned it's acceptable. Amar Rav Hamnuna taught Ube Medura, if it is a bonfire, Afilu Asar B'nei Adam Asur, then even 10 people, it will be prohibited. Rashi gives two explanations why bonfire is different. First explanation of Rashi is that since a bonfire is so large that people sit a far distance from each other, he might not notice what his friend is doing, and therefore he won't be able to guard his friend. Amar Rava also taught, Im Adam Choshev Hu Mutter. If he is an Adam Choshev, that the derech was not for honorable people to do the adjusting of the flame, it was the job of servants and others. The highest points of the aristocracy in the time of the Talmud did not adjust the candles. So therefore, it's going to be permissible. Asks the Gemara, may see, I'll ask you following Kasha. Tosefta says, Lo ikar lara ner shemiyate. Aber Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, ani ekre velo ete. Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, we know from the Gemara Brachos on Ches Amid Aleph, wasn't quite a madrega, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was also confident that he could read by a candle and not be nichshol. Pamachas kara ubikesh lahatos. There was one time that he wanted to move it when he was reading. He had forgotten. Amar kama gdolim divrei chachamim. He said, "Wow! Now I understand the chacham shay omrim lo yikare la or haner that said that you can't read by the or haner." Reb Nosson says the story was a little bit different. Kara vihita, he actually was nichshal, and he bent it. V'kasav al pinkas, and he wrote in his notebook, Anishmal ben Elisha karisi, I read vihitesi, and I was nichshal by moving the ner b'shabbos, v'kishi yivne beis hamikdash, avi chatas shmeina. When the beis hamikdash is built, so then I will bring a fat carbon chatas. The Gemara is asking, we see from here, that even as Choshev, as Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, the Gemara Brachos described that he went in Lefnai Lefnim and Yom HaKippurim, was Nichshel, and he was held accountable to bring a Karmen Chatas. So why did Rava say, Adam Choshev is permissible? We see that Adam Choshev was Nichshel, according to Rabbi Nosson, or, according to the first opinion, was about to be Nichshel. Either way, Rava's Heter is hard to understand, asks the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba, Shani Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Hoyol Umeisim Atzvel Devrei Torah Kehedyet. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was such a mevakesh for Torah that he looked at himself as a hedyot, not as a choshuv when he came to learn Torah, and therefore, in his excitement in learning, he would not wait for his servant to adjust the candle, but he himself would adjust it, and therefore on Shabbos, you have the fear for Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. So someone who is a tremendous burning love for Torah, so then as choshev as he is, he might come to tilt the candle. The Gemara expands on the issue of using a candle and the fear that a person might bend. In those days, again, was most common was the oil candle to get better light in regards to someone who's cleaning. Tani chada shamish, if there is a servant, bodei koses v'karos la'araner, he's allowed to check the dishware to see that it's clean by the candle. V'tani yidachlod yivdok, and there's another braisa that says that you cannot question mark. It says the Gemara two lines into the wide, lo'kasha, kam b'shamish kavua, kam b'shamish she'eino kavua. If we're talking about someone who works constantly for this Baal HaBayis, and therefore he's afraid of it, he's not just getting his $7 for the hour and leaving, he's never going to see him again, but rather it's a shamish kavua, and therefore his relationship with his employer is important, so then he's not allowed to use the araner because he wants to do as good of a job possible. Shamish eino kavua, he's not so worried, and therefore he's allowed to use the araner, because we're not afraid that he's going to try to do such a good job. V'ibay yisem, if you want, I could say, hava hava shamish kavua, that even with shamish kavua, it's going to be acceptable at certain times. What times? V'lo kasha, hava de mishcha, hava de nafta. Nafta is the source for the modern Hebrew word, neft, and that is a very heavy oil with a strong stench that people do not like to come close to. If the candle is made out of neft, so then in such a case, we don't have the chshash. The only time we have it is mishcha, that is a fine oil, olive oil, and there we're afraid that the shamish and all people will come to bend the candle. Mark, give you 7 lines on the bottom of your bowl. Shamish sheni kavua b'dimishcha mahu. What would you say about a servant that's not kavua, that is not so afraid of the Baal HaBayis? On the other hand, the oil is such a fine oil, he would have no compunction of bending it. Amar Rav, halacha ve'emorakein. Rav said the halacha is it's permissible, however we don't publicize it. Presumably because people get confused between different shamashim, and they'll come to be matir, even mishcha for a regular servant. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba amar halacha umorakein, one's even allowed to publicize it, we're not afraid about any type of zulzul. The Gemara now brings down a story of Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba that actually brought out his position that shamish eino kavua is acceptable. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba ikla levei Ravasi. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba went to the house of Ravasi. Kam shamei, his shamish got up, kabadik lenehura desharga, and checked the utensils at Ravasi's house. Now, Rabbi Yirmiyah's shamish is a shamish sheina kavua. He's Rabbi Yirmiyah shamish, and he's now in the house of Ravasi and checking the utensils there by the light of a candle. And hura deshaga amrle debaisum, the wife of Ravasi said to him, "Umar lo avid hachi, you don't allow any shamish in your house to do it." Amrle, Ravasi said, "Shavke, let the shamish do it. Rabbi Yirmiyah shamish do it. Kirabe svirle, he's following his master, his Rebbe, Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, that said, halacha umorakein, by a shamish eina kavua, with a candle." The Gemara continues 2 lines from the bottom, Yud Beis and Beis, and continues to analyze our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had told us a new topic, Be'emes amru achazen roe, the first wide lines on the bottom of Yud Aleph, Amid Aleph, the bottom lines, that a chazen, here it means the teacher of children, is allowed to check Heichan tinokos koren, where the children are reading, avulhu lo yikare, but he should not read. The Gemara says the Mishnah's language is confusing. On the one hand, we say that the chazan is supposed to be roeh. On the other hand, he's not supposed to read. What's the difference between reading and seeing where they're up to? When you see where someone's up to, you're reading as well. Asks the Gemara, Bemesamra Chazan Va'amri Reisha Roeh, my lav likros, doesn't the Reisha seem to say that you're allowed to read? Lo, says the Gemara, Lesader Roshe Parsh Yosef, to set up the beginning of the Parshios for the children. The Gemara's teretz is that he's not reading, but rather he's just checking out the beginning of the Parsha to remind himself how the Parsha goes. According to Rashi, the reason why he's reminding himself is so that tomorrow, this is Friday night, tomorrow he'll be able to stand next to people who get Aliyah. Then those days, when you got Aliyah, you actually read the Aliyah. And if it was necessary, the Chazan stood next to you to help you out. V'chein Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, Al-Masadahu Rashi Parshi Yosef, he's allowed to remind himself the general Parshi Yosef, but he's not supposed to read the whole parsha. Ask the Gemara, "Vekula parsha lo?" Is he not supposed to read the whole parsha? Misiva, I'll ask you the following question. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shimon Gamliel in the Tosefta in Perek Al says, "Hatinokel shel beis rabam hayu misadrin parsha yosef v'kar la'araner." It says beferish that the children read la'araner. Answers the Gemara, "Ibai same Rashi parsha yosef." If you want, we could say that when it says the children read, it only meant the beginning of the parsha, and they reminded themselves of the rest. And if you only look at the first two words, we're not afraid of Hatoa Saner, like our Gemara had said by the Chazan. Or if you want, I could say Shani Tinokos. No, children are different. Hovemas Rabban Alei, and the Rebbe is next to them, and they're afraid of their Rebbe getting a consequence for being Mata the Ner. Lo Asilat Sluye, they will not come to bend the Ner. This Bezer Hashem concludes Daf Yud Beis in the Gemara Rashi in Pshat. In Masechta Shabbos, Be'ez Hashem, we now go to the halacha section. Be'ez Hashem, Yisparech, our first halacha topic from Daf Yud Beis is the subject of killing small insects on Shabbos and during the week. Gemara in the bottom of Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, tells us that there were many Amoraim who killed lice during Shabbos, and ultimately the Gemara says this is the opinion of Beis Hillel. Even though killing an animal is an Iser D'oraisa on Shabbos, a louse is not part of the prohibition. The reason for that explains the Mishnah Berurah in Simin Shin Tezayin Sif Lamiches, where we have Sif Kon Lamiches in Mishnah Berurah, where we have Sif Tes in the Mechaber, that he says that it's permissible to kill a kina, that there's a difference between what the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch describe as a parosh and a kina. A louse, says the Mishnah Berurah, de'eina ba mizachem nekeva ela ba min hazeah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, based on Chazal, that lice is a product of sweat, and therefore not a halachically living organism, as opposed to a parosh, was a type of fly that was reproduced from male and female. The problem, of course, with this halacha is this is an amazing kula that seems to be inconsistent with the way science understands how lice procreate. And that is that lice also procreate with a male and a female, and it's hard to understand how this a louse is any different than a parush or any other insect. Here at Be'ezer Hashem, we will give different mahalchim that the Gedolei Torah present and point out their implications lahalacha. The shita of Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal that was publicized by our great Rebbe Rav Nevinzal Shlita, this is how the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah gets Reb Shlomo Zalman's shita, that they quote Rav Nevinzal's Haaretz and B'Yitzchak Yikare, is the following. The B'Yitzchak Yikare, Rav Nevinzal quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman like this: Chazal kovu es halacha l'fi maris ha'ayin shekina lo para v'rava. Chazal determined the halacha that a louse does not procreate based on what their eyes saw. Ulechein amar adonein morein v'rabbeinu zrachel v'rachel chayel ma'ba mutar ayom la'rokina. The halacha Rav Shlomo Zalman said does not change today. It seems quite clear that Rav Shlomo Zalman accepted the science that there are microscopic events of reproduction that create a louse today. However, since it wasn't lefi ro'os ha'inayim shel chazal, they did not consider it a halachic act of pruer avu. I asked Rav Nevinzal, does this follow beautifully with the yesod that the iser of eating an insect only applies to those insects that are seen by the eye? And he said, most definitely. This approach, Reb Shlomo Zalman, is also in regards to halachos of insects, in terms of eating, that if the eye does not see them, so then, in such a case, there would be no prohibition. So Reb Shlomo Zalman went so far, and said, therefore, if the act of procreation is not seen, halachically, they're not considered insects that do Pru Revu, even though the Mishnah Berurah says it comes from Zeya, does not mean that we deny the science. Rav Neman Sal himself suggested a different approach. He suggested, Lulei Dimistafina, if I was not afraid, Amina, I would say, She'ein anu makirim hakinim, she'iskavnu lehem chazal. I would say that chazal, we're talking about a different type of thing that we don't understand. Now, there would be a tremendous nafkamina if you took Rav Neman Sal's approach that he suggests, Lulei Dimistafina, and that is, according to Rav Neman Sal's approach, maybe there was something that once upon a time existed that didn't procreate, but lice, even if it procreates less than an eye's vision, would be part of the Yisr. According to his Rebbe, according to Psak, that of course he would be Mevatel himself with, then the halacha is that it would be permissible. For Rav Dessler and Michtav Me'elio, Chelek Dalet Amud 355, Ha'ara 4, this point about the gap between science and what Chazal say is an important lesson of our bittul to Chazal, even if we don't understand it. Says Rav Dessler, the halacha does not change. Chazal said they are not parin v'ravin, and therefore Chazal must have known what they said, even if we don't understand it from our perspective. Chazal begadlusam did. So according to Rav Dessler, one doesn't necessarily need to give Rav Shlomo Zalman's approach. The halacha stays the same, Rav Dessler claims. He suggests tentatively Rav Shlomo Zalman a similar type of idea, but at the end of the day, Rav Dessler says, we accept the words of Chazal without adjusting it to any reality. According to Rav Dessler as well, it would be permissible to kill the louse, whether the eye sees the procreation or whether the eye does not, because that's how Chazal taught it to us. If I recall correctly, another one of my great rabbeim, Rav Herschel Schechter, took a different approach. He is fond of saying that Chazal defined the halacha based on the science of their times, based on what science taught them. They said it's mutar or asur. It's clear that during the times of Chazal, there were many who believed in the notion of spontaneous generation. I'd like to add an editorial note that if one takes a look at Charles Dickens' work Bleak House, even as late in the time of Dickens, Dickens records the common belief of spontaneous generation. That means that procreation would take place without a male and a female. If Chazal, based on their time, said it was mutter, based on what's clear to us today as not being fact, then the halacha will have to change based on the reality that we know today that there is pru or revu. If I am not mistaken, and it's been years since I heard this from Rav Schechter, someone, I know many of my Talmidim are now in the States, and there are some who are right now zochet to still be learning by Rav Schechter, they can verify and get back to me at r.eisenstein@yna.edu. Be'ezer Hashem, next time I see him in Eretz Yisrael, I will try to ask him. But then the halacha would change based on the fact that our awareness, according to science, would change, and killing a kina would be a possible iser d'oraisa. So to summarize, on Shabbos, killing a louse is subject to many different positions. The Mahalach of Rav Shlomo Zalman, which I almost always find is the Derech HaMelech, is to say that the halacha does not change today, and the halacha views procreation as something that one could see, just like the prohibition of eating insects is dependent on davar anir alayin, and for that reason the halacha would stay the same, that killing a louse would be permissible. Rav Neven Sal and Rav Schechter would come out, Rav Neven Sal tentatively would come out li isur for different reasons. Rav Neven Sal suggesting that nishtanu hateva, Rav Schechter suggesting not nishtanu hateva but nishtanu hametzius in the sense of what we understand today, and therefore the halacha would now go luchumra. And finally, Rav Dessler's approach that the halacha stays stagnant despite changes in man's understanding of nature, because we have to trust Chazal b'chachmasam, even if we do not understand it. This Be'ezer Hashem is a summary of this fascinating sugya. I am indebted to Rafi Miller to add, he sent me an email about the topic of killing a louse on Shabbos, that I had mentioned, I wasn't sure, but I had recalled that Rav Schechter had said that since today we know that lice do not come from spontaneous generation, then it could very well be that killing a louse would be an Isur Doraisa. Rafi astutely pointed out to me that in a shir way after when I was in the Kollel, given at the Beyaler Shtibel, which is on YU Torah, when science contradicts the Talmud, Rav Schechter actually adopts the position that we had mentioned of Rav Shlomo Zalman, that avoids the tension between the science and the Gemara, where he suggested, like Rav Shlomo Zalman had, that since the louse procreates in a way that's not seen by the eye, so then in such a case it's not subject to the Isser Doraisa. In general, I do think that I recall Rav Schechter, when I was in the Kollel, mentioning that there are times that science contradicts, and then the halacha would change. Nevertheless, Rafi pointed out that in one of the later shiurim, in regards to this question, Rav Schechter had followed the position of Shlomo Zalman that it would still be permissible because the louse reproduces and lice grow in a way that's not obvious to the eye. Thank you, Rafi, for that reference. This concludes the topic of killing a louse, Bizman Hazel on Shabbos. In regards to killing lice and other insects, there is another question that needs to be asked. The Rav Moshe Feinstein has a beautiful tshuva in Choshe Mishpat, Chelek Beis Simin Mem Zayin. That was a question that was asked to him by the husband of his granddaughter, Rav Fishelis. Clearly, the Minig Yisrael and Gedolei Torah did not have a compunction of killing insects that disturbed or were disgusting for people, but what exactly is the Hagdara of the Isser of Tzar Balei Chayim? Clearly also, our Amoraim and our Sugya had no compunction as well of killing the insects. How, why, and what? Rav Meitzer teaches us the Hagdara through a Sugya in Bava Metzion Daf Lamed Beis that discusses the mitzvah of Prika. If an animal is falling under its load, the Gemara in Bava Metzion Lamed Beis gives us the details of the halachos of the requirement to unload the animal to reduce its suffering. The Gemara tells us that this doesn't apply to a zakein ve'en lefi chvodo. If there is a talmid chacham or an elderly person, that it's not becoming of him to unload the animal, in such a case there isn't a chiyuv, despite the fact of the yisur of tzar bali chayim. The Ran and the Ramban, Rav Moshe is medayik, understand the Ptur of Zakin Vein Lechvi Chvodo different. Number one, the opinion of the Ran is that this applies to everybody. Any individual who is Mechubad Ba'alma, even if he's not a Talmud Chacham, even if he's not a Zakin, is exempt despite the fact that the animal is suffering at Tzar Bali Chayim. That's the opinion of the Ran. The Ramban disagrees, and the Ramban holds that the asay of Kavod HaTorah is doche the mitzvah of Prika. According to Ramban, Ramesh understands, this is how I understand Ramesh's words, the Isser of Tzar Balei Chayim still exists if a person decides on his whim of his own Kavod that he'd prefer to let an animal suffer as opposed to compromise his own Kavod if the Torah does not suggest that it's his Kavod. While the Ran understands that there is no Isser of Tzar Balei Chayim in the face of a person's Kavod, however, for a person's Midos Tovos, so then in such a case, he should be careful to put the feelings of every living creature first, but there isn't an independent Isser of Tzar Balei Chayim. Says Rav Moshe, even the Ramban, who's the Machmir over here of Tzar Balei Chayim, that says that not every human desire precedes Tzar Balei Chayim, nevertheless, it only extends to the point of an individual's kavod. However, what happens if it serves a more significant purpose? In other words, one is getting food from it, so then in such a case, it would be permissible to even cause an animal tzar for a
human beings benefit.
For this reason, according to the Ran, any time it serves for a person's benefit, then the Isser of Tzar Bali Chaim falls away. According to the Ramban, it could very well be for a person's kavod. It would not fall away. But for any other type of human condition of discomfort, then Rav Moshe says it'll be acceptable and permissible, even according to Ramban. Rav Moshe then concludes, though, even when it comes to killing insects because they are disturbing and there is no Isser Tzalat Bale Chaim, nevertheless, he suggests to do it in a way that doesn't encourage achzarios. And he points out that the Torah tells us in Dvarim Yud Gimel that the Irani Dachas that requires to be put to death, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a Haftacha that we will still have Rachamim. That's how the Orach Chaim explains the Pasuk. And therefore, if it's possible to kill it in an indirect manner, it will be helpful for a person's midos. He concludes by mentioning our Gemara that says that these Amoraim killed it with their hands, the louse and the lice and the flies. And he says that there it was Efshar B'inyan Acher. So bottom line is that it could be, according to the Ramban, if it's only for our kavod, then Tzar Bali Chaim, the Issa, would apply. Other human needs, it seems for a Moshe, a carte blanche, heter. However, it should not be done by a dayim, if possible, to keep in mind that everything we do affects our midos and our worldview. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the halacha section from Daf Yud Beis.